Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have y'all with us today. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, and this segment is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with the legacy Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Great to have you. Lots of big stuff going on in the city. First thing, obviously, the biggest thing is the resident satisfaction survey that came out. I know you have your takeaways. You've studied it in depth. I surveyed it. I wouldn't say that I'm any kind of an expert on it. I kind of, you know, looked over it a little bit. I think the top line takeaway that some people have focused on is the small decrease in overall right direction. It was 67% in 2023. It was 70% in 2024. Now it's at 66% in 2025. To me, those are margin of error shifts. But what's your take on that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I know I got a chuckle out of the report of a decrease. You know, listen, at the end of the day, 2/3, give or take. And a lot of it depends on when you take it. If we took it right after a monumental event in the city, it's going to go up. And if you took it right, you know, if you went in the field during something that was a struggle or a snowstorm or a hurricane, and you said, what's the direction of the city? It's going to go down, right? So I absolutely agree that what we're focused on, the fact is, in 2007, 28% of our community thought we were going in the right direction. And in 2000, mid-2010s, not even 50% thought. So the idea that we've been able to sustain that 2/3, do you know how many mayors or how many city councils would love the idea that 2/3 of their entire population think that they're going in the right direction? That's a very, very good bar to be at right now, especially when you look at in a not so distant past that we couldn't even get 30% of people to say that Pensacola is going in the right direction. So, and that's not just the mayor's office or the city council. That's many people out in the community that have really helped make that happen. You know, from investment to nonprofits to so many other folks, to media. I mean, just all the different factors that make our city great that we know is doing so well. And so we're certainly proud of that.
And it's, you know, this is not a knock on the Haas Center in any way. It's just, it's hard to know how much to attach a general sentiment expression like that to the functioning of the city of Pensacola, because, as you say, you have volunteer organizations that make the quality of life what it is. You have, you know, non-city government functions, whether it's ECUA or whether it's, you know, providing water or whether it's the county or, you know, the sheriff. There's, and of course, people are not typically all that savvy about distinguishing, well, I'm going to blame the state for that and I'm going to bless the city for, you know,
right.
it's are you happy with how things are going number? And a lot of things that are outside of your control and a lot of things that are within your control fall within that. But as you say, sustained at 2/3 is a pretty good mark. Other takeaways from the survey for you?
Yeah. To elaborate on that, I think it goes to your, I agree with you. And I think those points balance out, right? Because the city's going to take some blame for an FDOT road, for example.
Right.
And that's going to say we're not going in the right direction, just as something that had nothing to do with the city might be looked upon positively and say, hey, things are going in the right direction. So,
wait at McGuire's is too long, or the wait to get to the beach is too long, or what, you know, like it's all of those things packed in. I haven't seen enough of my favorite bands lately. It's just, it's a little bit nebulous as a metric, but as long as the metric is consistent, then we can maybe
read
something.
But I would say, I would argue this, if we were the most crime ridden city in the state of Florida or in the country, if we were on major issues that our citizens care about, there's no scenario of which we would be absolutely failing in any of those, and you would see a number like 66%. You
right.
just wouldn't. I mean, right. So on those major issues. So that, you know, we should always be looking to improve. I can think of 15 things I wish we could be doing better, or I hope to be doing better in the next year, right? That we're always striving for excellence. But I think if there were major catastrophic issues happening in the city, there's no way that it would be, oh, yes, we're going to say 66% are going in the right direction, yet we have this major public safety issue or major trust or issue or something like that.
I did think it was interesting to note that the access to the waterfront is the most people said that was their favorite thing about living in the city of Pensacola. You know, that I thought that was fascinating
and
then the cost of living was number two.
Yeah, it's actually been multiple years it's been doing that, and that's why we focus on the Sun Trail. Like, there was the survey with landscaping and amenities last night. That's why we focus on Palo Fox Street. So it's kind of interesting when you want to come at that conversation, or some folks that might be critics of those say it's about downtown. We're just reading what the polls are telling us, which that's not a new thing this year. If you go back and look, multiple years, one of the things that people love the most is that they get to access the waterfront. They can see it. They can experience it. That's why Bruce Beach happens. That's why Sun Trail happens. That's why. And so those are amenities for everybody. It's not only people who live within 0.1 miles of that. And we went down and surveyed who's using them. It's people from all over the city and visitors and everything else. So that's why I think placemaking economic development is important, is that you got to look beyond just the surrounding neighborhood and say, who are these amenities for? And it's really for everybody in the city. And you can see it through that data point right there.
We found out something in the city council meeting, or maybe it was the CRA. I think it was the council meeting. Anyway, because they were moving funds around. The two meetings are back to back, and I listened to them both. I think it was Amy Tootle was given the brief to the city about how, or to the city council about how the two-waying of Martin Luther King Boulevard is just not going to happen anymore because FDOT decided that they weren't interested. They wanted to do a roundabout. They wanted to give us possession of the road. They Chinese inspectioned us on the information we needed to get going. What happened here?
Yeah, it's a relatively recent development, and I probably wouldn't go as far as anything. FDOT, we have a great relationship with, and sometimes we agree on things, and sometimes we disagree on things.
Okay.
If you just saw the docket that we have with FDOT, you can't really isolate decisions to one particular issue because there are dozens and dozens of issues. Just a little trivia question to prove that point. The city only possesses one bridge in the entire city limits. Every other bridge structure is possessed by FDOT. Do you know how expensive that would be for us to maintain? So in other words, our relationship is so intertwined on a daily basis about everything that we do. And so, yes, this was something that they looked at the numbers, and I have to give Commissioner May credit. You know, we hustled up, and our council, we hustled up $600,000, which was the additional need for the design of the two-way. And then we were going to kind of kick the can to say, all right, well, if FDOT can find the funding. Well, ultimately, they said, hey, we're not comfortable moving ahead with this design because we don't see on the horizon this funding becoming a reality. So if you want to do it, you would have to find the $6 million. You would have to then take over and maintain the road, which is, as you can imagine, not a very smart decision right now amongst property tax conversation.
Right.
And so it basically set the table to say, hey, this isn't really a reality for us. So, you know, unfortunately, it's something that this is a conversation that started well before me.
Oh, yeah.
This has been going, I think, you know,
at least since Grover. Yeah.
So generally speaking, I would support two-waying it to slow that traffic down. Sometimes the chips don't fall the way that you want them to. And then we do the best we can and move on to the next project.
Burdon is going to Triumph for what? The second round of their presentation there?
That's right. Yeah, it's the term sheet round. We're going to go this month. I believe the meeting's over in Panama City. So we're very, very excited for that. Obviously, lots of work happening in the background to get down to terms and how rent's going to work and how long and how many jobs and all of those different things. And adding to the complexity is it's really a three-way negotiation. You've got three parties. You have Triumph, you have the city, and you have Burdon. And everybody's kind of got to agree on everything. So that took some time, probably maybe a month longer than we had hoped. Nonetheless, we're still blowing and going, and you go three total rounds ultimately to Triumph. But we've already been once successfully, and now we get to finish out these last two.
And for people who may not know, this is the project out at the port. It would be up to what 2,500 jobs, is my memory. If it comes to fruition, is that right?
2,000 jobs, average salary, 80,000. They would be the largest employer in the city at full steam.
Yeah.
And what we're most excited, what does that mean for us? What it means for us is $160 million of annual payroll coming into our city, being spent at our grocery stores, at our restaurants, supporting our families, not just in the city, but across the region. And so this is a major, major impact project for us. And we're very, very excited to see this come to fruition.
I remember there was all this drama over the Baptist redevelopment plan and the Bayou District and all of that. And of course,
right.
Delarian Wiggins, who is the chairman of the CRA, and also it's his district, and basically put the kibosh on that. I thought very mistakenly, because I thought they were a good opportunity. And your office kind of has said since then, well, okay, if you don't want that, then you come back to us with something. Well, they've come back to us, right? We're going to get a vote on but it's not a full plan. It's a kind of a half step, and then we'll figure out the rest later. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, generally speaking, to be frank, it's right around the exact same RFP we had 10 months ago.
Okay.
It's there's maybe some nuance to it. And I certainly support Larry. What I said in that, at the failed vote in October is say, hey, listen, you know, we've given it our best shot. And if Councilman Wiggins had some concerns over any particular issues, I mean, I think, you know, we have a great working relationship. I think it's his opportunity to go in and do it the way that he believes most voices his constituents. And I have that level of trust with him to say, okay, great. If there was something about this process that you didn't agree with, and I don't know that he said that, you know, that it's one tangible issue, but nonetheless, then let's run out there and get it done. So Cliff Collins, we've certainly been supporting Councilman Wiggins' effort in that with our staff up on the seventh floor to be able to help move this thing forward. So, you know, listen, the best case, it's kind of the old saying, you know, best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, second best time is today. I would have loved to have already been starting community engagement 10 months ago, but that's water under the bridge at this point. So the bottom line is I really want to get community engagement started because our goal was to not be staring at an empty piece of property while we were asking the community what they want to see. So this is strictly community engagement, really the same way it was last time. It was not for development services last time either. And so we'll see how this goes, and I certainly hope it's successful.
The Fricker Center was supposed to have a groundbreaking today, but that's going to be pushed back because of rain, basically. Is that the concern?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're going to move it to the 26th at 9:30 in the morning next Friday.
We don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to ask you, because we talked to David Stafford last week, you came back from going to the United States Conference of Mayors meeting. You've been appointed to the Board of Trustees there, which is a pretty high honor, especially for a town of our size. Comment, thoughts?
Yeah, you know, obviously an honor to be basically one of 15, the president, two vice presidents, and the 12 trustees representing every mayor in the United States. So certainly grateful. And, you know, that probably is the biggest compliment to get that from your peers, from your colleagues, bipartisan. There's all Republicans and Democrats. So that was a great honor and excited for that. And that really just means more opportunity to be at the table for Pensacola when all of these policy discussions happen, advocacy discussions happen. And so I'm really excited for our city as well. And I'll give you one anecdote from the meeting. Why these meetings matter and why these relationships matter is I was chairing the Jobs Education Workforce Committee meeting, and we had somebody from the Department of Labor there, and I've said, hey, we've got this big shipbuilding project, and he's like, hey, please make sure we're clued in. So, I mean, we'll have somebody federally from the Department of Labor come into a workshop with Bird on, with ST Engineering, with all that, and they have significant funding streams to be able to help build the workforce. Well, that meeting probably doesn't happen, and maybe it's only a cold email from Little Pensacola, Florida, to the Department of Labor. Well, now that dynamic just changed because of that warm welcome and that connection that you make when you're there. So that's just one little anecdote of a takeaway of why these things matter and why going to these things and being involved in them help you really build relationships that lead to good things for Pensacola.
I've always said the same thing about Leadership Pensacola. The information I got was great, but the friendships I made have been vital in everything that I've been able to do since then. And that is that networking, connecting, relationships, knowing people, having their phone numbers and all that stuff. I mean, that's a vital thing to make stuff happen. Well, I would like to end with a lightning round, Mr. Mayor. I know you used to do sports reporting. Do you have a least favorite sport to watch?
Ooh, man. I mean, are you picking on soccer right now? I actually kind of like it.
You're the one who said it. Yeah, I didn't bring it up.
I'm an equal opportunity. You know, I'm just a blind advocate. I'm trying to think of anything.
All right, you like watching them all.
I would, how about this? Hockey on TV.
Thank you.
Not
yes.
Interesting to me.
It's impossible to follow.
Now,
you can't see the
shout
the
out Ice Flyers. Hockey in person. I think
totally
it's
different.
Very fun.
Totally different. Do you wash out your garbage cans either inside your house or the ones outside that you put out to the curb?
It's an election year, so I'm going to say every week I have a structured.
The mayor admits he wastes water. See, everything can be spun the wrong way, right?
I guess my political answer is probably not as often as I should.
Oh, there you go. All right. And then the last one, what are the hours during which it is okay to mow your lawn, use a leaf blower, use a chainsaw, whatever? What are the hours in the AM you can start and the hours in the PM when you should stop?
Well, I think the heat is what it's not rule. It's not ethics. I think it's heat that stops you. You shouldn't be out there, you know, past like 11 or noon. But I mean, I think the common courtesy is like 8 a.m.
And then what about at night? How late at night?
Well, again, I feel like you get giving somebody some dusk is okay. I'll say 7 p.m. Is that maybe 8? I don't know.
Okay.
It's still daylight outside. Yeah, I think I'm all right with that.
All right, fair enough. We had an event in Milton. This is going to be our frivolous topic for the day. That's why I ask. Mayor D.C. Reed, is always a pleasure, so we look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night. As always, thank you for the time. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.